Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collings, and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic, and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello everybody, welcome to the JCast. I'm Dom, joined by Damon McDonald. It is Thursday, the 12th of February, 2026. This is episode 399, and happy belated birthday to you, Damon.
Aww. Yeah, it was great. We had people over at the old PBX, and we then went out to dinner that Saturday. Yeah, I mean, they said he was freezing, was fucking Antarctica out, but we still made it through, and yay, it was good. It was actually very nice. Very, very nice. I had a lovely time. Thank you.
And how did you enjoy the Super Bowl?
truth be told, I probably watched I don't even think I watched the complete first half. I think I watched like a quarter. What is the fuck going on outside my house? It's like, it sounds like a goddamn chainsaw.
Car race.
It really, do you hear it?
I can hear it, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck is going on? Super Bowl, yeah, I watched not a lot of it. Cheryl where the fuck was she at? I think she had to go to her brother because her mom was getting some procedure done, whatever. So her mom wanted her to be there, and blah, 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 blah. So she was there, and I was alone. And I was just like, I don't know. I don't even know what I wound up watching. I watched something else a lot. And then I turned on the game, and it was incredibly boring. And then, if you're in Seattle, hey, good for you. You know, God bless you. You won your second Super Bowl. Congratulations. But to anyone outside of there, it's just like, this is incredibly boring. So, did you watch any of it? You didn't watch any of it, did you?
No, of course not. No,
why would you?
Would you real a sport?
Yeah, that's right. Well, listen, USA hockey right now, baby. Right now. They have a game right now
against Latvia,
correct.
Okay, so you're watching that in the background. I'm watching Brentford versus Arsenal in the background, and I hate it. I'm so upset and stressed about just the prospect of being in a title race because all the trauma from previous seasons, and it looks like Man City are going into Terminator mode again. They've signed like two of the best players in the league during the winter transfer window, and just everything that happens, like every time City score a goal or win a game, or an Arsenal player gets injured or sick, it's just causing me critical psychic damage. I'm just like, oh God, it's happening again. This is going to be a bad podcast episode because we're going to be talking about the new beginning in Osaka. But if bad things are happening in this Brentford Arsenal game, I'm going to be distraught.
Trust me, me too. I'm right there with you. I mean, we look pretty dominant. We look like a fucking powerhouse, which is nice. But Yeah, you know, Auston Matthews is on the ice. He gets a fucking elbow to the face. And I'm like, oh, great. Now he's concussed and he's never going to fucking play again.
Yeah, probably going to die.
We had two goals disallowed. We should be winning 3-1. We had two goals disallowed. You know, all right. One was maybe it was offside. The other one, I'm highly skeptical, was goaltender interference. But okay, great. But we're still looking pretty good. We look good. Plenty of hockey left to be played.
Okay. Yeah, that's it.
That's our show. Goodbye.
Pre-show off-topic non-wrestling banter is finished. And after what? How many minutes was that? Like,
oh, we're done. I have live lots more. Come on, you kidding me? What planet are we on? That's all we do. That's all we do. It's what we do. It's how we do. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to fucking find I just want the score. Okay. I'll just leave the score up. I'll leave the game off. All right. I am ready to talk New Japan Pro Wrestle. If you want to talk New Japan Pro Wrestle.
Yeah, let's talk New Japan Pro Wrestle. Honestly, I thought we'd go long with this. So I haven't even got the tab up with the results. So let's do that now.
Yeah, all right.
As we talk about the old Shinhon Pro Res. Japanese graps with the dudes doing the simulated fighting and
Felicia.
Bit of the old sports entertainment.
Oh, wow. Evil words you just said there. Yeah. What do you want to do? You want to go over the show first? You want to go over the major
1,507 people
there you go.
In the building watching the show.
You really want to watch the football, do you?
No, I don't want to watch it. It's the point. I should go out for a walk or something because this is stressing me out. Because Brentford are really good. Very well organized, well disciplined.
Scrappy.
Yeah. They're, you know, we're not getting much joy in their half, and they've had a couple of good chances. We're 6 points. No, we're not 6 points clear. We're 3 points clear with a game in hand. So this being our game in hand. So if we win this, we will be 6 points clear, but that's not enough. I won't be happy until we're like 20 points clear. But it's like mathematically impossible.
Right.
I don't want any drama. I don't want a classic title race that goes down to the wire. We are playing City in like April or something at their place. I don't want that to be significant at all. I want it to all be wrapped up by then. But no, it's not going to happen. So,
all right, they're winning this game, though. All right, let me just be very clear. They're winning the game. They're winning this game. They're going
to
win this game.
We'll have to. You know, if we're serious about being Premier League champions, we've got to win this.
You're winning. You're winning the game. You're winning the game. Keep the game on. Enjoy. You're winning the game. Trust me. Trust me. I got you on this one.
Okay, let's talk about this show then. So the kickoff match was the Katsuya Murashima send-off match with Toriano and Togi Makabe defeating Shoma Kato, Katsuya Murashima. In 8 minutes and 17 seconds, Togi Makabe pinned Murashima with his King Kong knee drop.
Yeah.
So counted the bumps. Obviously, that's what you do when you watch a Makabe match. 7 bumps. No, not 7. So why did I say 7?
I don't know.
It says 5. There's 5 bumps. It was 5 bumps from Makabe, who is looking increasingly like Father Jack Hackett. If anyone's seen the Father Ted comedy series, that's who he looks like. This kind of like drunk old Irish priest. And I suppose the big takeaway here is no secondary finishes. He brought out the big guns, the King Kong knee drop. I'm not seen that for a while. And 5 bumps and a King Kong knee drop. That is the biggest sign of respect you're going to get for a young lion in a send-off match. And some of the crowd, had some people in the crowd trying to get Murashima chance going at the end. He's got a booking lined up already for WXW, so I'm not sure where the excursion is going to be. I'd heard rumours of Australia. I suspect it's going to be a shorter one, like a Kosei Fujita style excursion. But it's my guy. I love him. My big my roly poly pudding bowl haircut boy. Love him, Murashima. I like him a lot.
I do too. And you're right. It was a full packed match for Togi Makabe I thought 5 was an amazing number, to be quite honest with you. I didn't even think it was that high. I think that our current crop of young lions are really like, I think we're in good hands. I really do. And again, a nice little send-off match. Everyone knew this was, again, a send-off match. I think he got a decent amount in. You know, you're not going to go. He's not pinning fucking Togi Makabe, right? We all know that. it's not like it was, right, a secondary finisher or a fucking cradle or fucking, you know, it was the big boy knee drop, King Kong knee drop. So.
It takes a lot to make Togi Makabe get up on the top rope these days.
Exactly.
You're doing that for just anyone.
No.
And none of those spots were for Sho Mikoto.
That's true. Okay. I didn't have that as a note, but yes, is that true? Okay.
Look. It was a mixture of, I can't remember exactly. It was about like three bumps for Murashima and two for double team moves.
Double team moves. Okay. Are you counting those as anytime his back hits the mat is what you're counting? Okay. All right.
Anytime his back hits the mat and it goes boom.
All right. I like that.
Am I doing it right? Is that the correct criteria?
I would say, yeah, probably. I mean, listen, I mean, we're suspending our belief here. If you're performing the move, Joel, it's not supposed to hurt you, but we all know that silliness. Yeah, you can count that. Yeah. I mean, his fucking back hits the mat. I cannot believe we're talking about a guy and what constitutes him taking a bump or not. So yes, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with five. What a life. I mean, and here's the thing too. Here's the good news too. The match was decent enough. You know, it wasn't by any stretch of the imagination. Don't go out of your way to go watch. But if you're a person who, a completist, is that the word I'm looking for? Who needs to, see everyone's Young Lions match and you want to get in on the ground floor and blah, 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 blah. Not a bad match. It's all right. Plenty fine Young Lionness against established legend stuff going on. So, yeah, not bad.
And usually the experienced wrestler that the Young Lion gets their send-off against, they become inextricably linked to them throughout their career.
True.
You know, if you think like Yota Tsuji being sent off for his excursion by Naito, for example. So I assume this means there's going to be a long and rich feud spanning many, many years between Togi Makabe and Katsuyu Murashima. I'm up for that.
Okay. Plenty of, you think, semi-main eventing Blue Justice events? any of those? You think he's co-main? Well, yeah, there you go. All right, good. A nice little way to kick off the show.
The first match was a special tag match, Hiromu Takahashi send-off match. Lots of send-offs on this show. Should have done the show in Sendai with all these send-offs, Damon.
Oh,
so we had Taiji Ichimori and Hiromu Takahashi defeating Jacob Austin Young and Francesco Acura. Mm. It was 9 minutes 40 seconds. Ichimori submitted Jacob Austin Young with the bone lock. I've missed something here. The Tadao Yasuda Memorial.
Yes.
The 10 count gong ceremony. I know very little about Tadao Yasuda, so you can probably speak more.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't think I can.
Do an obituary. Do like what Joe and Rich do on Voices Wrestling Talk for like an hour and 15 minutes in the deep dive on the career of Yasuda. Go.
Well, I don't know if I have too much to give you. I know, correct me if I'm wrong, but he was involved in the sumo before he got involved in pro wrestling. Yeah. I mean, I hate to say this, but like, I don't like this period of New Japan probably is where the biggest drop off I am. I mean, he's a former fucking IWGP heavyweight champion. And I don't think if we went through the list of all new, like we said, okay, back and forth, name every fucking IWGP heavyweight champion. I don't think he's going to, like, he would be one that we would miss.
Right. I, when you're doing the Sporkle quiz and time runs out, you're like, oh, fuck.
Right. I mean, I remember him losing the title I remember him losing the title to Yuji Nagata, if I'm not mistaken. What else do I remember about this guy? I mean, seriously, we're talking like, I don't know. I mean, like, I'm really, like, I'm trying not to, like, dig into, like, notes and shit. I know he was in Pride. He did a little MMA stuff. Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking here. Now I'm going to go to Wikipedia. I got to do Wikipedia just to see if I'm even in the same fucking. Yep, Yuji Nagata tournament vacant.
Different wrestler.
Oh, what's that?
You're probably thinking of someone completely different. You got everything wrong.
I probably have. No, it looks like I've done all right. Here's the thing. Now, again, this is according to our good friends at Wikipedia. And I'm going to read the exact quote. So bear with me here. It says here, and I'm reading it. In October 2007, he reportedly attempted to commit suicide by carbon monoxide poisoning.
God.
A friend, however, interrupted the alleged attempt. He was hospitalized with fears of possible brain damage, but this proved not to be the case and eventually made a return to wrestling. Speaking to Tokyo Sports, he later denied attempting suicide, saying the poisoning was accidental. Yeesh.
Cool.
I know. Oh, boy. I'm tugging on my collar here. I did not know that.
So he was part of like the Inoki crop.
Yes.
Yeah. Shoot fighters that he was enamored with because he got a surprising Pride win over Jerome Labana.
Yes. Yes, correct. And we're talking again in New Japan, like I'm thinking, like even in the 90s, like I know he was there, but like I'm trying to fucking come up with it. Like, give me the, like, I think I know more of him from Pride.
Yeah, it was a. From everything that I recall, people saying it was an unexpected push and a short and fairly unmemorable title reign. So
yeah, I think it was only like a month.
Yeah,
48 days.
Like more sumo wrestlers transitioning to New Japan.
I mean, at one point it seemed like that was a very big, and I would say all. I would say not all Japan, but like all. Japanese pro wrestling was a huge deal where, you know, you'd have sumo guys making that transition.
And he was, whilst he wasn't like a grand champion or anything, he reached the rank of Komisubi, which is sort of like the fourth highest rank you can get. So he was pretty good, you know, as far as sumo wrestlers go. So he was no slouch.
Yeah. It says here, this is straight from the Wikipedia, because again, I'm like really struggling to remember him in New Japan.
Oh, this is a bad segment. This is a bad idea.
It really is, but it says
he does some like nice pithy like wrap up sound bites for his impact, and then we could just send things on the way. But it's just both of us like scratching our heads, like fuck, what did this guy do?
Right. Well, it feels
borderline disrespectful to me.
I know it a little bit is, but I don't mean it to be, but. Now, again, this is straight from our good friends at Wikipedia.
You're just reading stuff of Wikipedia now.
I am, but these are all new facts for me. I'm like, all right. New Japan made...
Look, new facts for us, they're probably new for the listener as well. So you're welcome.
Yeah, right. I'm doing the search for you. New Japan made him start from the absolute bottom, blah, 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 presenting him as a young lion instead of a celebrity with past sumo champion status. Decision. Undercover. Oh, here you go. Okay, here we go. So even though he was a sumo wrestler before, he did not receive the same usual special treatment that other sumo champions may have had in the past. This was mostly because of the issues behind the reasons they joined the sport and how it ended up bad for them. Okay. That doesn't really have anything to do with that. Okay, never mind.
Hiromu Takahashi send-off match.
Yes, here we are. Go ahead. Hiromu. Let me Wikipedia.
Whilst I was watching the memorial thing for Yasuda, this is terrible, but I was looking at the graphic thinking, I don't remember him having that strange mohawk, but it was the lighting rig in front of the big screen. I was just one of the lights right in the middle of his head, and I was like, oh,
terrible. That's not a mohawk after all.
And there was no audio due to the Theme Music International copyrights. Like, they obviously felt that a jaunty replacement theme wasn't appropriate given the circumstances, and they're probably right to do so. So the Hiromu Takahashi send-off match was quite good. Hiromu's going to be the big story here, but I'd like to talk a bit about Jacob Austin Young.
Okay.
Although he took the fall here, I'm enjoying his elevation, and he's getting a bit of attitude. He stole Hiromu's jacket. And with Zane J sort of taking his spot in the faction as the pin eater, like the lowest member of the faction, I'm wondering if Jacob Austin Young might get into Best of the Super Juniors this year, because I really think he's the blueprint for doing things the right way. And I'm sure I've spoken about it before. Like, there's foreign wrestlers who you think, oh yeah, I might fancy sort of dipping my toes in New Japan, or we'll just kind of tweet about it a bit, or at the NJPW global account or something. And like, yeah, there you go. I've reached out to them. But guy actually flying out there, and I don't know the details exactly, like who's paying for flights and hotels and stuff, but just going there and doing things the right way, making yourself available, supporting the young lions, just being reliable, endearing yourself to everyone, showing good work ethic and ingratiating yourself with all people in the company from top to bottom, not just the wrestlers, but you know, the office staff, everything. That's the way you do things. And I would say if there's any aspiring wrestlers who want to work in New Japan and be successful in New Japan, follow the Jacob Austin Young model. Do that. Do what he's doing, and you'll be off to a winner, I think. So whilst he might not be like the flashiest wrestler with the biggest reputation or anything, he is slowly but surely, I think, carving out quite a nice little niche in the company. And yes!
There you go. What do you got?
Okay, we scored. Get the fuck in. Come on, Gunners. You talk about this match, Damon. I'm basking in the goal for him.
You bask. I'll talk match. One, I am in full agreement with Jacob Austin Young. I think he's a shoe-in for the Best of the Super Juniors. I would be shocked if he was not here. Here's the thing. There is a lot of me that watches like send-off matches and stuff like that. There was a part of me that was a little bit disappointed that we didn't have Hiromu get the win, right, for the team. And I thought it was kind of weird the post-match as well. Now, it does help others in the match who are thwarting and looking strong, I guess. I don't
know. You mean for the Hiromu Takahashi send-off, you weren't expecting Robbie X to be an integral part of...
I'm just saying. You know what I mean?
They did it all after the main event, so it kind of made sense in retrospect. But you're right. Like, when I was watching that, I was just like, what? This is the send-off for
Hiromu? Right. I mean, I get that we want to take the fucking spotlight a little bit off of him and move it to people who you would hope would be, you know, sticking around for the year. But,
I mean, they don't have to do that. Like, I'm thinking do you remember Kushida, his send-off match against Tanahashi, and then they just used that to get Jay White over. He came in and just like beat everyone up. And I remember like Kushida walking off and Jay White and Gedo being like, bye-bye. Yes, very sad. Bye-bye, bye.
Exactly, right. Right. Well, that's kind of what this was a little bit. Again, I do see, but I don't know. Like, again, we're talking the main card, opening up the show, basically. If we're not counting the dark match, and he, I thought he did look, he's very good. We all know that. I mean, I don't think anybody's questioning if he's good or not. He's fucking great. He's very good and can be great. Let's put it that way. I thought it was just weird. I just was just like, okay, well, we're just going to take the eraser and say goodbye and just remove him from all future booking sheets. And again, we're trying to help the people that are sticking around. And that's, again, fair. But I did end this match like, okay, odd, but it was nice knowing you, Hiromu. That's really what it felt like. It was kind of like, here's your years of service plaque. Now get the fuck out. We got work to do.
Yeah. I mean, I do have a big problem with this match, which was the Kenta Sato Hurricane Rana spot, because that should have been an immediate no contest, getting the referee involved in that.
Well, listen.
He should have called it. I should have been like, nope. Cannot do that, Hiromu. I know this is your last match, but that's an illegal maneuver. We're done. Match is over. This one's garbage. Dump it. Trash it. Clear the ring. Match two. It's over. they continued with the match all the same. But Akira, he's good, isn't he? He's gone full Angry Ginge. He's got to be an early favourite for Best of the Super Juniors. I know a lot of people had this match penciled in as more momentum for him and United Empire, but he got his heat back at the end of the match. And I think Akira has got really good chemistry with Ishimori, who's been kind of overlooked in recent years, but I think he's got a really interesting role now, Ishimori, as this like veteran gatekeeper, given all the departures, because, you know, Hiromu's going, Kushida's gone, Bushi, like all those people that were kind of in his, on his level, or like the same sort of class as him, they're all gone. And you know, Despy, another one of his contemporaries, is still a top guy. But, you know, looking at the people below him, like Yo, Sho, Wata, they, you know, haven't or didn't make it to the top. So I think I'm really interested to see what Ishimori has to bring this year. Because I know people are just like, oh, it's Ishimori. It's boring. Like, he does the same thing always and photo him, blah, blah, blah. But he looks really motivated this year. And he's got a match with Ricochet coming up, hasn't he? So...
yeah,
I think he might be a guy seeing all the departures around him, thinking, oh, "Shit, you know, I've got to step up here. There's an important role for me to play in helping develop this next crop of guys."
I think he's going to be actively involved in that, and you can kind of see him settling into that role. Not that he didn't already have a large play in that. The good news in all of these departures, and I know people are ready to hit the fucking panic button, and I know people are they see these things and they see the fucking lion mark in the black background, and you know, they got a lump in their throat at that point. I understand. I truly believe, and we've talked about this before, like this match is a perfect example of, okay, out with the old, in with the new. We need, you know, we have spots open. We're open for business, right? So even though, right, you could sit here and say, all right, enough of the Ishimori, you know, I'm kind of excited in the sense that if it's the same tricks, so to speak, it's with new people in the ring. So that makes it a little bit more fresh and palatable. You know, I don't think anybody is really craving or, you know, has circled another Hiromu Ishimori match. You know, it's kind of like, okay, we've done this. We've seen this. It's we're good. And the fact that there's new fresh blood in different roles, I think it's a little bit exciting. I'm down for it. Here's the good news too. It's not like we don't have a plethora of decent juniors that can help supplement, and until we figure out, okay, who exactly is the top spot, you know, who exactly are going to be the people that are we're going to focus on, and who are going to be the people that help support that right now. I think it's we're pretty open, you know. If you're hungry. At least it feels like, and the perception is, if you're hungry, you have opportunities, and let's see what you can do with it.
Second match was a special tag match with the War Dragons, Dorilla Maloney and Shingo Takagi defeating Greta Khan and Henare. Dorilla got the pin on Henare 9 minutes 24 seconds after the War Dragon double team maneuver. And I like this a lot as well. It's nice.
Me too.
Shiny, tanned, beefy situations between Henare and Dorilla. That was really good. Greta Khan is still nothing. He's just crap, isn't he? He doesn't seem to be particularly fired up after all these departures. He's not didn't really wrestle like a guy staking a claim to be in a big spot or you know taking anything after these other guys have left the company. It all seemed to heavily feature around Henare and Driller, which is you know, probably the right move. We're not going to talk about the New Japan Cup on this episode. I think you know we'll save that for next week. But I'm just curious to see. Well, they are on the left side of the bracket. Wouldn't necessarily rule out that being a semi-final. But yeah, that was definitely the highlight of the match. And the fans are really into the War Dragons team. So I'm glad that they've won. And I'm glad that they're still a thing. Like when they do their little synchronized ka-da-ka-da-ka-da thing. The crowd seem really into that. And I liked the misdirection that he did at the end, Driller, where he's kneeling and looking all sad and
oh, yeah.
saying, oh, thank you for the time I spent here, my status in New Japan Wrestling. I'm staying! And the crowd really got into that. They were cheering him and nice moment for him. So I'm glad he's staying. I think he's still got unfinished business in New Japan. I think he could... A lot of untapped potential there. I don't necessarily think he's going to be like a future world champion or anything, but I still think he's got a lot of value to bring to the company that I think he'd probably be wasted if he went elsewhere. And I'm sure those opportunities will come eventually. He's a very muscular, good-looking guy. You can talk well on the microphone. So those offers will come, make no mistake. But you know, if we've got him for another year or two, that's a good thing. And I'd like to see more of the War Dragons team. And it was also pivoted nicely by Henare. Backstage. I'll talk about Henare in a minute, actually. But yeah, what did you think of the match?
Like the match a lot. Let's start first with Maloney. Drilla. So here's why I got suckered in, too. Is because to me, and I've said it before, and trust me, I love being wrong. Fucking love being wrong. I do it all the time. But I've made comments where, of all the people in that, on that fucking roster, there is no one who is tailor made more for like an NXT or a fucking TNA or whatever, or even you know WWE than Maloney. I really like think he has the look, the feel, all like he's just tailor-made. He could slide right on it. And part of that feeling was, well, he's got that look. I don't think he's the best fit for New Japan. Right? I'm wrong. I think he's a great fit. And, like, you mentioned guys doing things the right way. It feels like he's doing things the right way, too. We talked before about this match, and we were like, okay, I would have zero problem if it was Henare and Okan, right? I like them as a tag team. I really do. Look, I'm here, and I know we've said something about this before, where we were like, all right, we're just fucking hand-waving Okan at this point. I have to remember that statement. Like, he's just... I don't know. We're done, right? We're not even hoping that he does anything special. We're hoping that we're like the meme of the guy with the stick poking. Please do something, please. I think the ship has well sailed, and it is what it is with Okan, right? I think that is a New Japan great miss. And again, maybe it was. I don't like the way that you conducted yourself, Great Okan, out there taking pictures of giant penises and you know, his Vegas excursions and his pornographic actress shenanigans, all of that. There's got to be something to that because it's like he fell off a fucking cliff. Henare, great to see. Looks as, you know, beefy as ever. And there was a where was I? What was I doing? But I came across the that spot of Henare and Gabe Kidd and the chair spot, and fucking Hanari's head is all wrapped up, and you know, Henare punches the fucking chair. Henare, I truly believe there's something there. I don't know what that looks like at this point. It feels like every time something gets started, there's an injury or some fucking bit of bad luck. So I don't know where we go with those two, but Driller, that was a highlight of the show because I got totally sucked in and I'm thinking, oh my God, this fucking guy's leaving. We're just, you know, I see him turning the corner and then he pulls the fucking rug out from under me and he's staying. So good job. You got me. And this match was not bad at all. Not bad.
What is bad is that Brentford have equalised. So I'm grumpy now. But
Henare
has put on his Twitter profile that he's a free agent. So I'm sure a company like WWE would be very interested in someone like Henare just for the aesthetics. You know, they like that. Those kind of.
But he hates the United States.
Sorry?
He hates the United States.
He does. But, I mean, if he gets paid enough money,
he'll like it.
he's given a lot to New Japan, a lot of really bad injuries. So, you know, maybe is the right time if there is a decent offer on the table to cash out, or maybe you can leverage that into a better New Japan deal. It's worth noting he is in the lineup for the New Japan Cup, so looks like he's staying for the time being. But, okay.
Well, listen, he's got a family, right? He's got a young family. You know.
Yep.
Time to. Yeah, I guess you know what you're right. Now's probably the time. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen now. So, fingers crossed it doesn't. But yeah, I mean, here's the thing too, though. Don't you think that he's just snake bitten in New Japan?
Yeah.
Sometimes you're just snake bitten. So maybe maybe a change of pace might be nice. But I hope not. I like him. I like him in New Japan.
Right, then the third match was the NEVER Openweight Six-Man Tag Championship, where Oleg Bolton, Yoshihashi, and Hiroki Goto, the Bishamon team, defeated Hartley Jackson, Diohei Oiwo, Zack Sabre Jr., Yoshihashi pin, Hartley Jackson, 12 minutes, 20 seconds, with the move that is called Daimin. Not Daimin, Daimin, D-E-I-M-I-N, whatever that means. I've not looked it up. I've not done the research. But this was great. Loved it. I love the little NEVER six-man pre-match theme they do, the little stinger, that's good. It's just really solid booking, isn't it? Like these little parallel mini feuds they had in the Road 2 leading up to it that all converged here in a match that I think was absolutely more than the sum of its parts. Then I just really felt that there was something at stake for everyone here rather than just like a throwaway match with six guys who are not really doing anything else. With, you know, a bunch of leftovers, like putting a guy like Hartley Jackson in there, look, for him, these NEVER Openweight Six-Man Tag titles are meaningful to him. They're an important signifier of his growth in New Japan and his standing and something that he can hang his hat on and celebrate. And I think the same could even be said for Oiwa, who he's on his own little quest to beat Hiroki Goto. He's not managed to get the job done at like three attempts now, I think. And there was a really good mix of styles between the three, where you got, you know, the hard hitting, heavy action, and then sort of the grappling stuff, the submission stuff. And also, I thought it was a nice touch. There were some really nice elements of like communication strategy between the teams, like little hand signals to make another guy come in and do a move. I just like the idea of imagining them planning their tactics beforehand. Like, it just adds a bit of extra depth to it and reality. And why not have a shoot headbutt in a NEVER six-man title match? Because fuck you, that's why. And again, just a small thing. I really like the fact that the finisher is a trio move. Like, it's a move where all three of them are doing something. And I can't really recall many other six-man teams doing that. So I just thought this was fantastic. Great spot for these titles. Like, if you... I think Chris Chart was saying something similar on commentary. If you stick this kind of match as the third match in every big show like this. That's great. This should be a mainstay for shows like this.
Yeah. And it's, and again, it says a lot about the idea of champions make titles and not the other way around. One of the things that I know that we talk about a lot is, you know, how the openings and departures and the opportunities that now guys have. We talk and we focus a lot on younger guys, and we talk a lot about, you know, young lions and even, you know, guys who are just graduating and kind of in that, like, but this also does wonders for a guy like Hartley Jackson, in my mind. Like, I don't think he would have this opportunity. And here's a guy that, A, you could see is making as much of the opportunity as he possibly can. And two, you're not overexposing guys in six-man tags, right? And I'm not saying that you need to protect someone, but it does emphasize the strengths and it can minimize the weaknesses in these type of matches. The match was fucking really good. And even Bolton, you know, he's green as grass still. It's not like, you know, he's got 10 years under his fucking belt. And being in the ring with a Zach and being in the ring with a Goto and being in the ring with Yoshihashi, like, I think that's a fucking great thing for young guys to get even more comfortable in what it takes to be a pro wrestler, and specifically within New Japan Pro Wrestling. So I like the fact that this is, again, not a showcase, but this is a place where a guy like Hartley Jackson can shine, and people can now open their eyes and be like, oh, okay, is this guy good? Did I miss something here? And again, six-man tags can hide weaknesses and emphasize strengths, but I just love the idea of these titles being something that people care about, because the people in the ring make every effort to make you care about what's going on in the ring. That to me is the essence of pro wrestling.
Fourth match, a special singles match. Andrade El Idolo defeated Gabe Kidd. 14 minutes, 20 seconds. It says on the website, The Message. I thought it was the DM, I thought was the name of his finishing move. This was pretty good. It was just like a Dynamite match, wasn't it? Like, kind of,
yeah,
middle of a Dynamite show. A little bit underwhelmed by it. Just kind of a lack of emotional engagement, really. And it was good. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. But I just have more long-term thoughts about both of the wrestlers rather than anything particularly interesting to say about the match itself. So, I mean, first of all, Andrade is getting booked like a big star in AEW, which does worry me slightly in as much as the impact that will have on New Japan booking, because when you tie up a guy like that, where the primary factor dictating what's going to be happening is Tony Khan and what he wants to happen, and also Andrade, what he's willing to do and who he's willing to put over in a wrestling match, then that kind of, you concede an element of control over your own booking with that. So I'm thinking about this match he's got coming up with Yota Tsuji in America for the,
I don't know, New Jersey
title, but yeah, I'm thinking, like, going to be losing that? I'm not sure. I'm not convinced that he will be, and what that might mean for Yota Tsuji. And the other element to discuss, of course, is Gabe Kidd, who had quite an interesting backstage promo. He didn't sound happy. He sounded like he was dealing with a lot of shit and talking about how he only got to see his mum twice last year, and he tried to do lots of things and failed at all of them. And of course, there's like the kayfabe Gabe Kidd character who didn't achieve what he wanted to achieve. But I wonder if there's an element of reality going through there. And he talked about, you know, his struggles as someone suffering from bipolar disorder with, you know, the traveling to and from all these countries and neither of them being his home. So it just came across like he's not in the best place right now. And he mentioned taking some time away. He's not in the New Japan Cup field. I don't actually think he's going to leave New Japan. I think he'll stick around, but he just sounded unhappy. So I hope he can get some time off to sort himself out, because he looked like an unhappy man, and that's not good.
No, it's not. And I would echo those statements. Here's where I kind of like, I don't know how I can delicately say this. I hope he's not using this as a ploy to tug at people's heartstrings. You know what I mean? I kind of felt a little bit of that. Of, all right, I don't know. I just felt a little off-putting. You should be off-putting. I don't know. I didn't get the same. Let's put it this way. Did you get the same vibes from this promo as you did where he cut that promo in Philadelphia in ring, blah, blah, blah?
No, because that promo, he seemed like energized and enthusiastic, and he was using that as a kind of launching point for something positive. But here, and not just in the promo, but in his wrestling, he seems to have lost something. Like, there's a bit of spark gone, a bit of that, that authenticity and that passion that made him so absorbing to watch, that seems to have gone as well. So,
right. I hope not. I hope not.
I totally understand what you mean. That, like, a cynic might say he's using it as a
I'm not saying he is, though. Like, I want to be very clear. I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying that I hope not that he's not. Right. I hope that. I hope not. It's. You mentioned, if take the time you need, take time off. If that, if that's where your head is, Joe, maybe he can't. And what's he going to do? Fucking go work at Tesco? You know what I mean? Like, how do you take time off as a pro wrestler? Because unfortunately, the nature of this business is you don't work, you don't get paid. So. That's the most troubling part, is the idea of people can't take time off unless they're very good with their money, right? And hopefully he is. That could afford him that luxury of being able to take that time off. But you know as well as I do, the countless guys that work hurt because they have to, not necessarily because they want to. And that, to me, is the troubling part. If you can't step away from the things that are causing you the ills, then that's a troubling. But here's the thing too. I mean, I hate to say this, but there are probably millions of people in that same boat of, I would love to just step away just to clear my head, just to get out of this fucking, this gray cloud that I'm in, and you can't. So you have to swim upstream to try and find a way to get out of that fucking cloud, which is not, again, the easiest thing to do. I can't imagine New Japan Pro Wrestling has this unbelievable wellness policy, well, where they continue to pay the poor guy while he's home. I don't think they have something like that. Should they? That's a conversation for another fucking day, for sure. But yeah, I mean, if he's in a bad spot, and I'm not saying that he is or he isn't, but the indication from that promo did make you feel that way. I hope he can get away. That's what, again, this is another thing where I really feel like, if a wrestler is leaving to go somewhere to, quote, get the bag, get the fucking bag, because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. So if in fact there is a possibility of him getting the bag, get the fucking bag, dude.
Fifth match was a special singles match with Callum Newman defeating David Finlay, 13 minutes and 53 seconds with the Princess Curse. And this was exactly what I wanted it to be when I laid out the preview last week. Like a really, not a squash match, but a comprehensive, nasty, violent, aggressive victory where he stamped his authority over David Finlay and sent him packing and established his credentials as the top foreign heel in the company. He's got a new entrance, new music, He's got Zane Jay as like his young boy accompanying him to the ring. And I thought Chris Charlton did a tremendous job on commentary, putting over what a prodigy Callum Newman is and all the things that he's done at his age and compared to other wrestlers at a similar age. And the dynamics of the match are really interesting as well, where Finlay was the kind of the face by default, but not working any differently to how he was working as a heel. It's just that sort of natural shifting along the spectrum that comes with time in the company, unless you're a House of Torture, of course, in which you are just locked into the same spot forever. But yeah, he's got the swagger. He's got the attitude of a guy who is just really firing on all cylinders now. That pin he did where he was like sitting on top of Finlay and lifting his shoulders up off the mat, just being a cocky prick, not cheating, not breaking any rules, just being an absolute asshole. And it was great. It was tremendous. And that's one of the things I'm most excited about this year is the elevation of Callum Newman, because he's really starting to live up to all the potential that we projected on him.
It's probably one of the most important matches on the show if we're looking for the future and what's coming up in the next year, right? And it almost, like, we will sit here and talk about how we would love to see things progress, and I would say maybe 10% of the time it happens the way that we kind of feel like it needs to happen, right? This happened the way it needed to happen. So there's two things. One, it's Callum Newman who's elevated himself and has taken the next step and has taken the ball and is currently running with it, right? He's playing the part. Like, and I mean that in a good way. Like, I don't mean he's like playing pro wrestler. Like, he feels like he is becoming quickly a serious guy, right? And then the second part of that is David Finlay, who once again has done the right thing. And, you know, you as pro wrestler who is listening to this show might not always be inclined to do what the right thing is. You might do the thing that is right for you. Totally appreciate that. Totally understand that. David Finlay is a selfless, giving, true pro wrestler in every sense of the word. Things didn't have to go that way. He could have been like, nah, how about we do this? No, he went along for the ride and he was there to kind of make the handoff and make sure, again, not a passing of a torch, but that he knew that, okay, Callum's going to be the guy here. Let me do what I can to make sure this goes the way it needs to go. So, again, if I'm tipping my cap, Callum Newman, absolutely. I'm excited to see what's next. But David Finlay, a massive thank you for everything that he's done for New Japan Pro Wrestling, who, again, will probably go down in history as a guy who might not have always gotten his due. I personally feel like was put in a bad spot by the company, and then the company really didn't get 100% behind him. And he, as I like to say, was swimming upstream a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, if it is, and for every, look, we knew he was one of the people that were leaving, and the post-match stuff kind of, if you have any doubts about us, I don't know what to tell you at this point. Yeah, I think David Finlay will go down as maybe one of the most, especially in this modern era of New Japan Pro Wrestling, he might go down as one of those guys that has been so greatly underappreciated. His loss, I know people are shaking their heads like, no, fuck that. His loss is going to be felt more than people think. So we'll see. We'll see what Callum can do. Fingers are crossed. I think he'll do fine. But yeah, Finlay, what a underappreciated talent for New Japan Pro Wrestling. But let's see what happens with him.
Chris says, when are we going to see defections from Unbound and Empire to form a new Bullet Club under Callum? Blockbuster Daddy says, I think... Oh, uh-oh. Fucking hell. This is getting really tense. There's like there's 2 minutes left, and we had a really good chance there. Brought by Sedelli says, I think Newman will be the one to take the global title off Tsuji come Dontaku. I had said, like, I think the kind of Bullet Club aesthetic fits someone like Callum Newman, but I don't see a problem with United Empire remaining a thing and him being the leader of that. They're looking good at the moment. They're one of the better book factions in the company at the moment. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy with things as they are. I'm not going to be thumping my chest and ordering them to make a new faction for him. I think he's in a really great spot at the moment.
Yeah, I'm fine with where he's at. And I would say, if you asked Callum Newman, hey, you want to be the new leader of Bullet Club, I'm confident that he would be like, nah, let's do our own thing. So yeah, I think right now, where again, you could have made that argument to me, you know, months ago. I think United Empire is kind of, well, to me, it's honestly, it's probably the most interesting faction we have right now. So, nope, I'll pass on the idea of a resurrection of Bullet Club.
I do see more defections though, because Unbound Company is
yes.
very, very big.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it felt like we have all these guys. We don't know what to do with them. You're now in this gigantic faction, and honestly, it was weird and didn't fit. So, I'm sure there's going to be more shuffling. Absolutely.
So then Hiroshi Tanahashi came out with some news, and he says because of the success of Wrestle Kingdom Dominion this year, June 14th is going to be broadcast on TV Asahi, and asked that Osaka, that one gets sold out as well. So I think they must have a big main event lined up for that. I'm just speculating, but something like Yotsuji versus Will Ospreay. I think Ospreay might very well be called up for that.
You think?
Main event, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe we'll see him. We'll see him. Yeah, so that was good. Good. Look, again, I like Tanahashi in this role of president, in the sense of I like him to be a little bit more camera facing. Like, I think it's a good thing. So yeah, I mean, good. We're on TV, national television. Was it the 14th? Sounds good to me. Perfect.
And Violent Skipping says, thoughts on Tana having a big announcement of a special TV broadcast and compelling the Osaka crowd to sell out Osaka Joe Hall, immediately followed by the new crossover star losing in 2 minutes and 8 seconds.
Oh boy, here we are.
Never overweight championship. Red Narita, excuse me, defeating Aaron Wolf 2 minutes and 8 seconds with Hell's Guillotine.
All right. So, once again, we've talked about how New Japan does things. And they love to give someone something and then make them struggle like for like months afterward to kind of, I don't know, give them this perception of overcoming obstacles and whatever. Okay. Two, especially with newcomers and especially with, you know, guys that are new to the wonderful world of pro wrestling and specifically New Japan Pro Wrestling. They do love to take their time, give, and then taketh away to show the true struggle of what it is to be in New Japan Pro Wrestling and be a top guy. Never in my wildest dreams, Joel, did I think that would go down the way it went down. Like, that was just...
It's exactly what I said was going to happen last week.
It really did. I thought there was a possibility of a win, but in my head, I'm like, well, no, they can't. They have so much goodwill built. They have so much energy built. They really felt like they have something. And again, it's a work in progress. It's wet clay, and, you know, it still needs to be molded and cured and all that shit, but they have got something here. Help me with this. Help me understand. Not only, okay, great, you want to get the belt off of them for whatever reason. Okay, great. This match, and I dare call it a match, in like what it was. And let's put it this way. I know that there were a lot of people that were thrilled with the idea of Evil leaving and House of Torture going by the wayside.
Yes.
And we said,
thank you.
And we said, probably not going to go away.
Be careful what you wish for.
Be careful what you wish for is right. This was worse than I thought. It really was, Joel. How is this? Help me understand.
It was the load-bearing element of House of Torture being vaguely watchable. He was the only good bit of the faction. Now he's gone. They're still getting pushed. All of the Riz, all of the aura's gone, and they just look like a collection of fucking losers. And Ren's getting the push. He's the leader of House of Torture now. So all the people that were busting open the champagne when Evil left, yeah, well done.
Yeah, no doubt. Idiot. Dopes. Yeah, this is not great. This is worse than I thought. Can I ask you a question? Is the aura dead on Aaron Wolf? Like, so this is a guy who, again, got the big win on the big show in front of all the eyeballs, which was great. Then thereafter, he looks like a fucking boob, just getting his ass beat countless times. And now here, on a relatively spotlighty show, in a relatively spotlighty position on the show, this guy gets fucking just destroyed. Help me understand this.
Well, in the weird kind of brain disease New Japan booking, that was their attempt at protecting him by having all that interference, isn't it? So, I mean, there's two ways to discuss this. One, what I would have done, what we would like to see, which is not this. You know, we wanted to see the Aaron Wolf push sustained and him having these sick judo-inspired matches where he's just throwing everyone on their heads and looking like a killer. That's what we wanted. The reality is he's a rookie wrestler,
right?
And he's still got a lot to learn. And if you've been watching the Road 2 shows, he's not exactly looking like Kurt Angle out there. Now, this is not me saying he's a bust or he's not going to become a big star or anything, but what I think they're doing is just exactly what I said they would do last week, which is just quietly get the belt off him on a not-so-big show so he can sort of go back to basics and continue to learn on the job and build him up for the big win, which will probably be at Dominion, right? He'll probably win it back then when it's on network TV again and everyone's watching and it can be a lovely moment for him. And yeah, they like House of Torture. They like it being a thing. I said Ren Narita was probably going to take over as leader, and that's what's happened. So this is what New Japan does. I'm not saying it's good. It wouldn't be what I would have done, but that's what I think is the quote unquote logic. I'm doing like big air quotes with my fingers, the logic behind that particular move.
Right. I mean, again, so let's just say that he does get that big win back at Dominion, right? The guy only wins on fucking national TV. Okay, fine. If you were just a casual fan and maybe you parachuted in on Wrestle Kingdom and now you hear, oh, okay, he's going to be on TV again. Right? I know Aaron Wolf. I'll check him out. Yeah, he's the champ. Oh, what? He's not the champion now? He lost? How did he? Oh, he lost? Okay. Oh, he just fucking got mugged, basically. Like he would, like, in the real world, there would be fucking assault charges, right, at this point. I don't know. I don't know how this makes him stronger. I don't know how this makes it so that people give a fuck. I don't know how this makes, I don't know. I don't know. Like, are we now getting pumped up for Aaron Wolf to get his revenge? Like, I feel like no one gives a flying fuck at this point. And again, we're in February and we're a month and, you know, what, 8 days out from Wrestle Kingdom. But in that month span, Joel, this guy has looked like not only a guy who can't handle himself, but a boob in the process, I would say. So I don't know, man. Like, again, this is what New Japan does. They don't have to. Like there's not – it's not like you're making a souffle and you have to fucking follow the instructions, or if not, you're going to wind up with a fucking omelet. Like, you can do this and you don't have to follow the fucking cookie cutter pattern that you love to do. Cause it may, I don't know. I think they did it and it worked and they continue to do it because, well, it worked here. Okay. Well, I don't know. Do we have that kind of time? It feels like it's a different time and space and era. I don't understand. And of all people, Ren Narita? Oh, fuck me.
Look, it's only a tertiary title, right? I think people are it's understandable, but I think people are going to overreact to this and use it as a portent of doom for the booking of New Japan Pro Wrestling, right? It's only the NEVER title, and I don't think it means that Ren Narita is getting an accelerated push to be a significant main eventer in the company. So,
oh, I do.
This isn't good, right? I'm not making excuses and saying that this is actually good because it's not. It's crap, but it's I've like relatively inoffensive to me, and I'm more enthused by what they've got lined up for Aaron Wolf in the New Japan Cup, because in his first match he's got Don Fale, and you know, we're not going to do a full New Japan Cup preview here, but if he wins that, then he's got a match against Shingo Takagi, which then I'm thinking, okay, like, that is something that excites me. We're going to see him, you know, having a proper beefy big boy match there. So yeah, that's something to look forward to. I just, he's very, very green. He needs to learn. He needs to get better. And maybe for the best that he's not carrying a singles title whilst doing that job.
Okay, fair enough. Now, I'm going to give you just a small counter argument. If we're trying to make the guy gain experience in the ring, I don't think it's by doing what they did, right? They could have had a 10-minute match where Aaron Wolf shows his inexperience.
Yeah.
And
I'm not saying that the learning he's doing was in this match. I'm saying the learning is going to be on all of the Road 2 shows that he's wrestling in the undercard of.
Okay. Fair enough. I mean, yes, there will be plenty of that. I don't know. I just think they could have done it differently, and there's more than one way to, pardon the pun, skin the cat. You know what I mean? Come on.
Yeah, no, I'm on your side. Again, this is shit, and they shouldn't do it. And Ren's crap, and House of Torture's crap, and they should all be sent to jail. But yeah, I'm not going to get too upset about it because this is exactly what I said was going
to
happen.
You did say. You did. You did. Tried to talk me off the ledge, but I was right there. All right. The good news is that the next match was fucking great.
Yeah. I just have one quick question from Blockbuster Daddy. He says, what do you think is next for Aaron Wolf? So it will be that. It will be the redemption against House of Torture at Dominion, probably. That's my guess anyway. Maybe a nice little run in the... Japan Cup. When I say run, he'll beat Don Fale and then he'll lose to Shingo, and that'll be that. But yeah, I would like to see what Aaron Wolf looks like in a singles match, not against a House of Torture wrestler. I want to see if he's got, like, you know, the cardio to have that intense style of match.
I'm with you. Yeah. I think New Japan Cup is where you're going to see what you got. Let's put it that way. So, Fale is going to be a struggle. That match is going to be, you talk about smoke and mirrors. That there's going to have to be some fucking smoke and mirrors on that one.
Andrew says, can Aaron Wolf lift Don Fale? I don't think he'll do it, Damon. I think it's going to be too heavy. He's going to try it for you to be like,
back.
No,
oh, fuck, my back.
Do it, guys.
Oh.
He's too heavy. I give up.
Yeah, I think we'll see that spot. Definitely. But like maybe a slip on the banana peel win, and then Shingo, probably teaches him a thing or two in the ring. All right.
Okay, the seventh match was the IWGP Tag Team Championship. By the way, it ended 1-1, so I'm grumpy now.
No.
More grumpy than I was.
US 4, Latvia 1, just FYI.
Yeah, well done. At least one of our teams is winning.
USA.
What are you eating there, Scrumpy? IWGP Tag Team Championships, the Knockout Brothers, Oscar and Yuto Ice, the only good Ice, defeated Yusho of Yu Uemura and Shota Umino, 19 minutes, 37 seconds, KOB. Fucking great. Yes. Yep. Pro wrestling. Woo.
Yeah. Fuck, it was fucking great. It really was. And once again, all the things that we've talked about before. Like, here's the thing. Like, we could sit here and bitch and moan about Aaron Wolf and be like, okay, what are we doing? What the fuck's happening? Like, they're nailing the tag scene. They're nailing it, right? They have something with Knockout Brothers. They absolutely have something. They have something with Shota and Yuya. And now they have something with Shingo and Drilla. So yeah, let's just fucking rotate. You know what I mean? Like, I'm thrilled with this. I thought the match was great. I think we have literally four great talents. I love both tag teams, and I could see this fucking every day. And it's amazing where you have, I don't know, it's like, it's when you care about a portion of your show, whether that's whatever title, your global title, your never title, whatever, your now tag, like when you care and you show it some love and you get behind it and you make people care about it, wow, amazing things fucking happen. Now, I will say this, and maybe you can help me with this. I am not familiar with AEW's The Demand.
Yeah, I was just thinking that when they had that little, yeah, at the end. Who the fuck are they?
I couldn't pick them out of a fucking police lineup. I tell you, I was like,
you're not what? Paying attention to the World Tag League 2 years ago, Damon.
Apparently not, because they were there, huh? Yeah. Good old Bishop Korn. I'm very curious, and I would love, maybe next week you can read off some responses and some replies. Is this something I should be looking forward to as I travel 40 minutes up Route 295 to Trenton, New Jersey? Is this going to be good? Are they good? Should I give a fuck? What are we doing here?
I've not seen anything particularly impressive on them. They were fine in World Tag League, but very disappointing for me.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I'm saying this without really having any firsthand knowledge, right? So they might be the fucking new coming of the Midnight Express. What the fuck do I know? To me, I felt like, boy, we're trying to find local homegrown talent and save some money, right? Didn't it feel that way when you heard that? Weren't you like,
not the good brothers?
Well, yeah, that's good too. Yeah, you know what? There is a blessing in disguise, but it did feel like
the West Coast Wrecking Crew. I'd rather it was the West Coast.
Me too. Me too. And that's only to say, why are we doing this? Like it felt like, well, let's pinch a couple pennies and see what we can do to get, you know, not have to pay for that long flight to airfare to Newark. And that's really what it felt like.
Yeah. I'm glad that Knockout Brothers won, because I know they won the first two matches against Yusha. So the conventional wisdom would be like, oh, so it's the third match, so Yusha are going to get the win now. But I'm glad they just like, no. KOB are better. They're the superior tag team, and they've hitched their wagon to them, and then they're getting a proper push in a semi-main event of a pretty big show like this, looking like stars. The Osaka crowd absolutely love these guys. And yeah, I'm just really glad that they've been booked in a dominant way, and there's not that temptation to do the parity booking. And they feel like quite a big attraction now. Well, they did feel like an attraction until they put them against the Gates of Agony. But I'm really enthused by the book, and I find it's quite bold and refreshing, because New Japan don't usually do things like that. So that's why, you know, there's the big picture stuff like that. I can't get too annoyed about Ren winning the NEVER title when this is happening and the tag division is becoming a focal point of the company. And we've got really exciting, hungry young talent, firing all cylinders, great chemistry between all of them. I thought it was interesting, actually, the crowd reception to Shota Umino. I get this is just one of these things now where the Osaka crowd is just going to boo him forever until he wears a new hat or something. But that's just very interesting to me. You compare that to the main event where Jake Lee got no reaction whatsoever from the crowd with what he was doing. There's still something there with Shota, and I thought it was a really great performance for him. I think he was excellent in the match. And again, there's another guy I'm excited about in the New Japan Cup, because I think he's got some quite tasty... No, he's not. He's wrestling Chase Owens in the first match. Eat your own neck. So no, there's nothing tasty coming up for Shota Umino whatsoever. But if he gets past those two, which he will, then he will be facing either Yuto Ice or Oiwa or Zack Sabre Jr. So that's I'm quite excited by that. And yeah, I don't know, we've talked about Shota Umino and his struggles to find himself a lot, but I don't see it as a problem right now. I think he's in a good spot being a tag team. I hope they don't break up the tag team, but I think it's pretty cool.
Me too. Once again, this is a perfect example of highlighting strengths. And again, not necessarily, you know, pushing weaknesses under the carpet, but I think they look good as a team. Here's a weird statement, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. They look like they could be a tag team, right? There is some kind of perverse joy that I do get out of seeing like the weirdest fucking fire pro wrestling combination you can have as a tag team. But then there are times when it's like, oh yeah, you know, that feels like they could definitely be a tag team, right? In real life. I don't know. I think they should stay there. I think eventually they will win the titles. And then there's and that's not a knock on Knockout Brothers, like because I really have come around to them. They could swap those titles back and forth all fucking year, and I think it would be great. I just feel them as a tag team, and the things that would normally annoy me about Shota haven't really come, it hasn't really been out front and center. Like when he's a singles, it's all you got, right? But he's able to hide a little bit as a tag team, and those things that annoy everyone, they seem like they're kept to a minimum. So yeah, keep them together for a long time. I think it works personally.
Right, Blockbuster Daddy said, what do you see in the future for both KOB and Umino Yuya? I think we've kind of covered that. Dr. Larry Yutt says, I was on his podcast, the Prescription. So if anyone wants to listen to me give my life story, go listen to that.
Oh.
So he asked, maybe Shota's future is as an agent. Do you think New Japan will ever move forward with the Roughneck?
Yes. I absolutely do. I think he's one of the guys that people in the company, given all his flaws and given all his struggles so far, they're hoping that he finds a way to become a guy that New Japan can depend upon. That does not mean we're main eventing dome shows in the near future. That doesn't mean we're getting the big boy title in the relative near future. But yes, I absolutely think that they hope and pray that something happens. And I will remind people that the majority of the time, the guys that you consider big stars and big names and guys that you would say, yep, we're Mount Rushmore-ing them, especially, again, modern New Japan Pro Wrestling, it wasn't just I showed up and I'm here to fucking take over the company. There have been – it's not this one straight trajectory to the moon. No, it's up, down, 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 what? Up, up, down, up, 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 down, 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 up, 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 up. You know what I mean? Like it takes a little bit of time. And that's both what New Japan does, which is a thumbs up way to go, we're not rushing anything, and also a thing of utter frustration where you're like, what the frick? So, I think he's not going away anytime soon. Let's put it that way.
The main event was the IWGP Heavyweight Championship match. Yota Tsuji defeating Jake Lee, 23 minutes, 40 seconds, Gene Blaster. And as everyone expected, Jake Lee, charismatic, good interviews, and then the bell rings. And yeah, this was just a big old pile of okay in the end. I thought the first half was bad and boring, and very ill-considered, considering the red-hot, fiery, energetic match that had preceded it. For him to be doing the kind of shtick that he did not land well at all. Like, the character that Jake wrestled as in this match did not match the character that I thought he was presenting in the promos. Because in the promos interviews, he was talking like a guy who'd like lost his mind through the injuries that he'd suffered, watching everyone have all this great success while he was like passing out in agony and grinding his teeth away, and was ready to unleash a year of pain and resentment on his opponent, like a, you know, kind of like a sadistic Takashi Miike villain. But then the bell rang and he was more like some kind of buffoon sidekick character from King Rollo. Like the spot with a rubber glove, someone that should have died after the Road 2 show. Someone should have had a word and been like, don't do that again, Jake. That's ridiculous. So yeah, didn't land at all the first half of the match. But when it got down the stretch, it was fine. It was solid enough. The ending was very funny when he was just big, the goofy jester character and dancing while he was getting speared and being carried out of the ring in a comical fashion, and just like the slapstick of him sat up in the corner looking all dazed while Suji's doing his promo and then collapsing to the ground. I mean, two minds about this. Like, one, I'm willing to give them a pass on it because he was out for a year. It was worth a try. He's had the big comeback. The crowd reacted to it really well at the Tokyo Dome. The presentation of the character was good up to that point. So I was like, well, why not? You know, let him have the filler defense and then he can just slot back in to the mid-card. And that's fine. But even so, I still think this match was disappointing and not up to the standards of a New Japan Pro Wrestling main event, especially when we're coming off the back of a really hot Wrestle Kingdom. Maybe there was a better choice there to try to retain some of those fans who would have watched Yotsuji versus Konosuke Takeshita and thought, oh, yeah, this guy's great. I want to see more of him. When's his next title defense? Oh, here, new beginning, and then turn it in and seeing Jake Lee going like blah, 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 with rubber gloves in his mouth. It was that was quite jarring. And
what? Everyone said the new Jake Lee was great. Everyone said, I mean, didn't we ask, do we build him up? Like, is this like, what happened? Well, no, that we just return on our back that quick, huh? All right.
Tried it, worth a try, didn't work, move on.
Yep. Here's the thing. What I thought of going into this was a successful title defense for Yotsuji. Period. End of story. If we got a great match, I would have been shocked. I think we got a good match. We got a Jake Lee match with a new, like, little fucking layer of whatever the fuck he is. His weirdo persona, right? But at the end of the day, when the wash is, you know, dried and folded and put in the fucking drawer, what we got was Jake Lee. Period. And I'll go so far as to say I think Yotsuji did a very good job of getting the most he could out of Jake Lee. We got a successful title defense. I don't think anybody watched Wrestle Kingdom and was hooked and then turned on New Beginning and was like, well, fucking... Now, I mean, I would say that, oh, okay, the guy who won the title, he won. Good. Great. What's next? And I think that the sickos, the hardcore fucking nut jobs like us, we said basically the same thing. Good. What's next? So, I didn't go into this match with incredibly high expectations. I just wanted a fucking successful title defense. To be brutally honest, Jake Lee was always a problem in my eyes when it came to, you know, the idea of him having off the chart main event New Japan matches. Let's see what else. Here's where I would worry, Joel. I would worry when it's Yotsuji versus a guy that, wow, that looks sexy on paper. And, ooh, they've built this match up. And then, ooh, that wasn't that good. or worst case, well, they shit the fucking bed here. What are we doing? Like, that's when I would press the panic button. I ain't pressing the panic button over Jake fucking Lee. It's a successful title defense, and that's a good thing. We're good.
Chris says, what's Jake's role going forward? There are moments of menace, but the Jets effect was so over the top that I couldn't suspend disbelief enough to buy in on him as the champ. Yeah,
he's not there you go.
Champ. He's got a Yoshihashi in the New Japan Cup. To
there you go. Okay. Hey, stick him in the middle of the card. I know that everyone was excited by the new coat of paint, but weren't people really excited when he was a tag with Gabe? And I'm not saying he does that, but again, let's hide flaws. I think a tag guy, he's perfect. I think as a mid-card title contender, yeah, I think it's where he belongs. And again, he is coming off an injury. We're expecting the moon here, coming off of, you know, he hadn't been in the ring for almost a year. So, you know, again, a successful title defense. Let's look at it that way.
Antonio says, Thogoth's Yotsuji comments regarding Bushiroad, them not being able to keep the talent. My question, when Bushiroad going to sell NJPW, and to since NJPW is cold as product, the company devaluing to points they are losing, which in result of it, since they can't keep talent. Mm. As a result of those financial, to be fair, creative loss, I mean, there's a reason Okada and Tsuji said what they said. So question is, when Bushiroad going to sell NJPW and to who? Personally, I already said this to Rant in Review. In order to NJPW, they need oil, a.k.a. Arab money, or local Japan billionaire in order to survive and compete, given the current climate of things, given WWE and AEW financial backings, although WWE is owned by investment firm Silver Lake, though. So are going to sell, and when thoughts?
When thoughts? Tomorrow. I'll do this. Antonio.
Rory says, what are the actual feelings about Bushiroad from both NJPW and Stardom locker room? Should they press them for more of a budget to try and keep talent?
Okay. One, let's address Antonio's wish for a multi-billionaire Arab oil investment. I'm gonna ask
in Riyadh. I'll be there.
Right. Let's put ourselves in that person's shoes. I think New Japan Pro Wrestling would be the last thing I invested if I had that kind of money. You would just be throwing money away.
Is watching Ren Narita winning the title.
Right. Come on.
Get me Kidani on the phone right now.
Tell him I'll double any deal made. Sign me. There's no chance in fucking hell. Again, don't be confused by comparing what New Japan Pro Wrestling is or even could be to what WWE is and the broadcast rights and the idea of Saudi Arabia throwing money at WWE to hold every fucking event that they can in their country. That ain't going to happen. Now, second, would Bushiroad sell? And I did hear something about, you know, Tsuji talking about trading cards or don't treat us like trading cards or something along those lines. And then didn't Kidani have to apologize to people who like trading cards? Come on. I ain't apologizing to them. I'd be like, what the fuck? But yes, he's trying to save face because that's the bread and butter of the company, if I'm not mistaken. So, look, I think if somebody came to Bushiroad and said, I have a ridiculous amount of money that I'm going to offer you for this company, they would be fools not to be like, okay, sounds good. You know, the problem is finding the fool. And I don't think that there are many fools out there that are willing to say, okay, I will buy this thing that I have no idea what the fuck it is. Right. I mean, go through the history of pro wrestling, not even just Japanese pro wrestling, but pro wrestling in general. And how many, dare I say the dreaded words, money marks, there have been in the history of this business who lost their fucking shirts over pro wrestling. because they thought, well, we could do this. We can get this guy and that guy, and we could do this. And blah, 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 blah. No, it doesn't work that way. I hate to say this, and I know this even the thought of this. You know who would buy New Japan Pro Wrestling? You know who would buy New Japan Pro Wrestling, right, Joel? Who would buy New Japan Pro Wrestling?
Tony.
Tony would buy New Japan Pro Wrestling. I don't even think WWE would buy New Japan Pro Wrestling, even if they could. I just don't think that they would. I don't know. I just don't think they would. And again, this is a company that bought AAA and fucking TNA and everybody else. I don't know. I just don't think that they would. Tony, I think that might be a wet dream of his. Let me be very honest with you. If I had the money, that'd be fun. I'd love it.
You'd book yourself, wouldn't you?
Oh, my God. Forever champion. Me and fucking Jushin Liger out of retirement. We're the tag champs. Yeah, that would be some random guy with money to burn, probably New Japan Pro Wrestling, buy Hustler Magazine. I don't know. You know what I mean? Buy Brazzers. I don't know. There seems like more fun to have you have with that than with New Japan Pro Wrestling. Just my humble opinion.
Yeah, I don't think Kidani cares. I don't think any amount of chest thumping or rattling the cage is going to make him give a solitary shit.
Yeah. Trust me, I think there are times where he forgets he owns a pro wrestling company, to be honest with you. Now, would it be great if they sold and they could say, okay, we can now afford, or let me take that back, we can now budget for people, you know, bigger contracts, whatever. It's not always about just the money. It's about the money, the travel, the time spent away from family and friends. The idea of, oh, I'm a pro wrestler. Oh, yeah, where? New Japan Pro Wrestling. Well, where the fuck do I see that? Is that on Netflix? Is that on USA Network? There is that component. Trust me. You got to order from New Japan World. Okay, I don't know what the fuck that is. And trust me, there are people that consider, and I think there are a lot of people that consider pro wrestling WWE and maybe AEW, and then everything else is kind of off the radar. So it's not always just about, okay, we're going to pay you, a nice, handsome contract to wrestle for us for 2 years. Okay, how many dates do I have to do? What are you asking me? What's my push? What's not my, there's a lot more that goes into it than just money. So you got to find the right person. And here's the thing too. Throwing money at the problem gets you into situations like having Brock Lesnar as your champion, or having an involvement with TNA, or having Jeff Jarrett be a member of the Bullet Club. You know what I mean? That's what throwing money at a problem does. You got to find the right fit. You got to find the talent. Yes, it would be great to be able to be like, oh, you got an offer from WWE? Great, we can match that, no problem. And okay, that takes care of that. But then what else? What does that mean? So while I think that it's important to have the financial wherewithal to be able to make those decisions, yes, absolutely. There's probably much more that goes into the equation than just the bag.
So there was a lot of post-match stuff with Hiromu where he got his big goodbye. And there was a very touching moment where Yuta Ice was just absolutely inconsolable. He was crying his eyes out and trying to hide
pussy.
His tears.
Sorry. Kidding, of course.
He should be fired immediately.
Birmingham
says, will Yuta Ice breaking character for Hiromu leaving make him more of a star going forward or hurt him with his standing in the locker room? bullying him.
I mean, listen,
you cry,
weird.
Baby.
Yeah,
wow, little tiny tears.
Going a little nappy. Yeah. Look, here's the thing. The question is not preposterous because in pro wrestling, we've seen countless times of people getting hazed and fucking bullied and fucking like pro wrestling's a pack of weirdos. So I would say anything's on the table. I don't think it hurts them in the slightest for me anyway. But again, pro wrestling is very weird. You have no idea what that might look like to some fucking grizzled vet. You think Togi Makabe is okay with it? It's all right. Here's a shoulder to cry on. I don't see that happening at all. Does it hurt him? Truth be told, I don't know. It didn't bother me at all, quite frankly. And in fact, it was a little bit refreshing, a little refreshing to see real human emotion. But I can't tell you if it hurts him in the locker room. Pro wrestling is a weird thing. It could, but I hope not.
Okay, bye everyone.
Hi, I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.